Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Ah, yes, it is the post-game podcast. No Jerry Recco today. He'll be back tomorrow. So I've got the Eddie Scazzeri with me. Welcome, Eddie.
Hello, podcast people, and I think we're back to YouTube person.
Yeah, it's not going great on YouTube, but we're just going to keep it rolling.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect us.
You know, sometimes these things take 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, a couple years. Yeah. You'll hear that a lot. You'll say, you'll hear people be like, I did YouTube for 5 to 10 years before people started following me. So that's what we're hoping for here.
Correct.
By the time I retire, we might have some actual viewers on the YouTube.
And then you can keep going in your retirement.
Yeah, then I'll start. But then I'd have to start fresh, not on a company feed, and I'd have to start over again. Probably take another 5 to 10 years.
Well, I mean, you could announce it on the then popular feed.
Yeah, that's true. I could give that a shot.
Yeah.
So one of the things that you have done in your life, which I have looked into, and I just want to ask you some questions about this.
All right.
So, you know, we all have home internet. We have the cable home internet. Some people have, like, Optimum or some other cable. Some people have Verizon Fios. But there are things now, 5G home internet. I know T-Mobile does 5G home internet. Verizon does 5G home internet. And you switch to one of these 5G home internets.
Yes, T-Mobile.
It's like, for me, it would be half price of what I'm paying for my cable.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like looking into it because I'm like, that seems reasonable. And you said like you do a lot of, you stream football games and things. And you have not run into a problem.
I have not, no.
Yeah, and I was even asked somebody on the Bradley Beach message board. I said, oh, does anybody here in town use this? Have you noticed a difference? And all people are like, why would you choose Wi-Fi or a cell phone signal versus a wired internet? I was like, well, because it's cheaper.
Right.
And if it's working the same, why would I not do that?
Mm-hmm.
My question to you, though, is, Eddie, there are people who believe that 5G is bad for our bodies. Have you heard of such things?
Yes. I thought it was back in the early days of COVID that the 5G was the cause of COVID.
Oh, right. I did hear that as well.
Because that makes scientific sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a weird one.
Mm-hmm.
But I have also heard that people think 5G, this was even, I think, prior to the COVID thing, or different than the 5G's giving us COVID, just that 5G's not good for us. But my quite problem is, though, is like we all have cell phones that have 5G. So yes. Wouldn't it already be bouncing around in our bodies?
Yeah, you would think. And I've heard since, I guess it was the late 90s when almost everyone started to have cell phones, that that in itself, and I guess it's just, you know, as each, as the cell phones have gotten better and better and the whatever, we went from 3G, 4G, 5G, that those signals bouncing around were not good for us. So this has been, as long as we've had cell phones, you've heard this.
Yeah. You know what's weird, too? In between the different Gs that you were just mentioning, there was LTE, which was supposed to be very good.
And occasionally you see that on your phone if you lose your, like if you get out of the 5G area, I'll see LTE pop up.
But now when LTE pops up, I feel like I get a weaker signal.
Yeah, you do.
But LTE used to be like the creme de la creme of the signals, but now 5G is.
Yeah, well, look at your standard def, you know, television used to be, oh, wow, this picture is great. And then you saw HD. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
What was I looking at before?
Well, I'll run into that, too. Like, I saw a video of a musical performance from Letterman from the NBC show somebody had on YouTube, and they must have taken it off their VHS. You cannot make out the faces of the people in the band.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And that was perfectly fine for us.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago.
That's what we knew.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, here's a, you know, a moving image of something that I'm not there for, but yet I can see it. Wow.
Yeah, now it needs to be crystal clear. We're like, what is this?
And then the next thing will be some sort of a projected hologram,
you
know, a fully immersive 3D situation.
Yeah.
That'll be the next television.
Regarding this 5G, people being scared of 5G, I feel like people fall into, I guess, three categories. There are people that believe everything, there are people that believe everything we're being told is a lie, okay? Such as, you know, people say 5G is safe, that's a lie, they're lying to you, 5G is very dangerous. Then there are people that believe everything they're told, right? So the FDA approves this food's good for you, there's nothing to worry about. If it were bad, the FDA wouldn't have approved, you know, food dyes, for example. And then there are, I guess, people in the middle. Where do you think you fall in there? Do you tend to believe, like, if a government agency approves something that it's, they've done the research, or do you more on the side where you don't trust anything, or?
I would say I'm in the middle.
In the middle somewhere.
I don't believe everything. I believe some things, but I'm not, like, worried about it.
Yeah.
Because we're all going to die someday, so.
It does seem like, if the FDA approves something, that should be safe.
You would think, but, you know, sometimes then new information becomes available, new research, new science that are like, oh, we were wrong about this.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I was someone who was very trusting. I believed, like, if the FDA approves, you know, red food dye, then it can't be that bad for you, or they wouldn't have approved it. They would have said, no, this is no good. And then I kind of lean more towards things seem like, how are you trying to trick me? Especially like if money's involved or something. I question things when money's involved.
Yeah, let's push this through.
Yeah.
And rubber stamp it because there's a, you know, this pharma company or this food company is paying us off and they're going to make billions.
Yes. Yeah, I start to like question like, if this is making money for somebody automatically, like then something seems like that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, follow the money.
Yeah, follow the money, and that sucks. They'll put large organizations will put people in harm's way for the profit of
for sure of
the company, right?
But that's always been the way.
Yeah,
go back into antiquity, and people were. you know, money, power, land, whatever it is, screwing people over in order to make them their own situation better.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the human condition, sadly.
Yeah, it stinks.
Now, the other human condition is that we do cooperate with one another and achieve great things. But there are two sides to the story.
Yeah. I want just one side to the story.
Yeah, well.
All good. Men behaving nicely towards each other.
Yeah, you would like that to be, but that's sort of a utopian ideal,
which yeah.
is probably never going to happen.
It is utopian.
Mm-hmm. And just like that game you and I used to play on in television.
In television, Utopia.
Yeah.
That was a tremendous game where you would each get an island,
mm-hmm.
and then you would have to, I think you earned points by, like, if you grew crops,
mm-hmm.
right? You'd have to plant, you'd have some money to begin with.
Correct.
Then you can choose to build crops on your island where it rains.
Right.
And when the rain would come through, your crops would get watered, you get more points.
Right. And then you would build housing for your people.
You could build housing for your people, a hospital.
Yes.
A factory so people could go to work.
Mm-hmm.
But if you built too many factories,
no good.
You were polluting your island.
Correct. And then there would be these little warships that would come
yeah.
and attack you. And if you did a bad job in managing your island, then the rebel little icon would pop up. And there yeah. would be a revolution.
And then occasionally a hurricane would come
yes,
through. And it
wipe
would
wipe out your
right.
hospital, your crops.
And the hospitals were very expensive to purchase
yes.
in the game.
Uh-huh.
If you bought a hospital and a hurricane came through
yeah.
and knocked it out. Yeah, I used to, before I would play with my neighbor, we would set ground rules. Are we going to attack each other?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we not? Because you could attack your opponent's
yes,
boat.
You could.
And you could put rebels on their island.
Correct.
But you didn't have to do that.
No, you didn't. That was a choice.
But if your friend put a rebel on his rebel on your island.
Well, then you got to retaliate.
And I guess that's how the world works,
that
right?
That is exactly right.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you know, that utopia is hard to achieve.
Yeah. I know. It really stinks.
You know, that's why a lot of science fiction is dystopian futures. Which
What's dystopian mean?
Like the opposite of utopia.
Okay, it's so utopia, we're working together?
Yeah, and the dystopia would be it's all effed up.
Yeah.
Some calamity has happened, some invasion has happened, you know, and everything is all messed up.
Mm.
And there's, you know, nuclear fallout all
yeah.
over the place and, you know, bands of people just struggling to survive.
5G's getting us.
Yeah, so that is a common theme for science fiction.
Dystopia.
Yeah, and there's not many where it's just like, oh, everything is great and everything is always wonderful. Because who would read that book?
No one.
Right.
What do you think in your years of working in radio, what's been the biggest changes you've experienced, you think?
Well, just the technology, where when I started, everything was on analog tape. We had reel-to-reel machines, and then you would have to edit with a grease pencil, a razor blade, and then put it back together with splicing tape. And that was a skill. Cause you,
yeah.
You know,
did you have that skill?
I did.
Oh, yeah, I did not.
Yeah, and you know, you used to see some horrendous splices. It was awful, and it would be all, you know, when it would roll over the heads, it would, you know, you just, it was worthless.
I remember thinking, like, when they were showing me how to do that in my internship,
mm-hmm.
I remember thinking, like, God, I hope they come up with a better way so that I don't have to learn how to do this.
Yeah.
And they did.
They did.
Took a while.
And the, like, things that used to take literally an hour to edit if you were putting together some piece or something. Or even trying to put together, you know, a voicer with a you know, an in, a piece of tape, and then an out. You know, that would take you 5-6 minutes. And now with, you know, you could do it in under a minute with the digital technology.
So the technology at your job changed.
Yeah, it made everything, it made us more efficient, made us better, made us faster, quicker, and again, when I started, all the commercials and a lot of the little clips and highlights that we used to play were on carts. You know what a cart is. For those who don't, it looks like an old 8-track tape, which a lot of people have never heard
of.
Yeah,
what if we don't know what that is?
Yeah,
then
so
what?
It's like it's a little cartridge, a cart for short, that you would put into a tape deck and have to play it from there. And all our commercials were on those. So before your shift, you used to pull your first hour of carts of commercials, stack them up, and then, you know, it was a whole thing. And as a courtesy, then you would pull the guy who was relieving you, you would pull his first hour, and then you would have things would be repeated, you'd be shuffling them. And all of the little drops and sound bites that you used to play, those were all on cart. I mean, you could imagine, you know, if I had to have 20,000 carts in the control room with me to you know, search for a drop. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that would have been.
So for sure, I think really it's the technology. It would be the biggest thing from when I started to where we are now.
Yeah. We also have way more competition.
Yes.
Although I feel like we've always, like most people consume the radio in their car.
Yes.
And we've always had competition in our cars.
Uh-huh.
With the radio, CD player, or mm-hmm. cassette deck. I guess those are the big ones. Now we have more like books on tape.
Well, we always had
yeah,
that.
That's true. We did have books on tape.
It's so much easier now
yeah.
for a book on tape because it's downloaded on your phone.
Yeah.
And then all this other media podcasts that are available. And, you know, if you wanted to, you could listen and stream any radio station in the world through your phone.
Yeah. I also think one of the other big competitors that not a lot of people think of in the car is a person talking on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you decide your hour ride home every day is when you're going to catch up on phone calls.
Right.
You're not consuming radio or podcasts
no,
or music. Nothing. That's like a big competitor.
But I hate talking on the phone.
Me too.
Because it takes me away from what I'm listening to.
Yes. Oh, especially if like you're looking forward. You're like,
yes.
Oh man, I got to the good part of the book or the podcast.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get back in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're on the phone. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. oh.
So, but I can't, trying to think of something else that's as big a change from when I started to now.
Yeah.
And it, well, you know, the nature of the industry has changed and, you know, we're doing more with less people.
Yes.
That's a change. You know, you used to have a lot of staff. We have little staff, but I think the most impactful would really be the technology.
Yeah. Do you think we'll have radio stars in the future?
Never say never. So I'm going to say yeah. I would say yes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if some, you know, calamity happens and there's a dystopian future, you know, somebody sitting up somewhere with a transmitter and
yeah.
microphone, you know, could be like the voice in the wilderness.
They'll start doing shows again.
Yeah.
In this dystopian future. Have you seen any of the weird UFO-related things going around online that people... There's two things in particular I'm thinking of that some people swear are real and some people swear is a hoax.
Mm.
One is this sphere, metallic sphere, that landed in Colombia, and people think it's came from space or another mm-hmm. dimension or something. And someone has this sphere that they've been supposedly doing testing on and all these things. But it would seem to be a gigantic story, but it's really only big in the UFO community online,
mm-hmm.
which makes me think that it can't be real, or more people would be looking into it.
Right, unless you go back to the thing we started with, that you don't trust anything anybody says.
Yeah.
And they're not telling us.
Yeah.
You know, they're sort of misleading us.
I believe it's called, if I'm pronouncing this correctly, the Beluga Sphere.
Okay.
It's this metallic sphere that someone has video of flying in Colombia, and then also it crash landed and someone has it.
Why Beluga?
I think that might be the part of Colombia, maybe, where it was
okay.
found, I think.
Because there's the beluga whale also.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, because I always just see it written.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw another thing about it today, and they're doing carbon dating on it and all this stuff.
Who's doing this test?
That's what I mean. It's like it's all these UFO feeds on Twitter. It's not like Harvard has the beluga sphere in their test. It's all these, like, nothing in the United States with credentials. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like seemingly things in other countries with credentials, but I don't know if they're real credentials because I'm not in that country. So you got that one. Then there's a guy who claims that a piece of a meteor came to Earth, which is, we know, is possible. And he grabbed it and took it home with him. And over time, something has grown out of it that looks like a giant alien spider.
Mm-hmm.
And he's keeping it at his home, and he's putting it in a safe, and he's putting it in boxes, and it's seemingly growing and growing. That seems less real even than the beluga sphere.
Right. And I think you brought this up maybe with CeeLo on Friday or something. That's
yeah, on the air real quickly.
That's like the plot of the 1957 movie The Blob with Steve McQueen. I believe he was in that.
I do recall The Blob. This was just this big, slimy...
Yeah, it came out of a rock.
Oh, is that it grew out of a rock?
Yeah, out of a meteor.
Okay.
And the first guy in the woods who came across it, or a farmer or something, it got on his hand and it consumed him. And then it started to grow and would just keep eating people and ingesting them.
So it would be eating people... And as it's moving along,
over them, and then it would sort of engulf them and then consume them, and its mass would grow.
The more people it ate.
Yes.
And it was just going through cities and things like that?
Well, this town.
A town.
A city. It was a small town.
Yeah.
And then they found out that they were running away from it, and they hid in like a meat locker in a grocery store or something. And when the blob put a tentacle in there, it was like, oh, it stopped, and it moved back. So they figured out that it didn't like cold.
Ooh.
So they got a bunch of, I don't know if they were like fire extinguishers or something, to sort of spray it all down and freeze it. And then the military came with a helicopter and put a hook in it and then dropped it in Antarctica.
Where they always say there's a lot of suspicious things going on there.
There was a big question mark, you know, the end question mark.
Yeah.
You know, which is, again, a very common motif.
Yeah, the UFO people think there's a big base.
Sure.
UFOs. And is that because we just can't get to Antarctica?
Like, it's an unexplored continent for the most part.
Isn't that weird that in 2025 we still haven't?
Well, I mean, we can map it and see things now, so it's less of a mystery. But it's still, like, you know, not many boots on the ground. You know, no large populations of people. And there are no permanent human settlements there. They're all research stations from various countries. So nobody really lives there permanently.
Because it's just too crazy cold and windy
things. Well, I mean, it's also, you know, right. It's not a hospitable environment. And there, you know, that it's not good for the human psyche to be in darkness for 6 months.
Hmm.
So people will... There is a continual human presence there, but you wouldn't really call it a permanent human presence, because the people that they're in and out, they'll stay for a while, then nobody like lives there forever.
Yeah.
And I think McMurdo Base is our big base down there.
It is weird that there are parts of the globe that are still unexplored. Like when they go, only 5% of our oceans have been explored.
Oh, yeah, the ocean floor is like a total mystery.
We got to get down there. Let's look around.
I mean,
clear it up.
Big planet. And, you know, they have kind of an idea of what's down there, but, you know, there's still, you know.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great... conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of mysteries.
Yeah.
And then you've heard of whale falls or no?
No.
When a whale dies and its corpse drops to the bottom of the ocean, wherever that is, however deep it is, there will be colonies of life that will, you know, spring up around these whale falls because it's such a large source of food and everything. And, you know, it'll last for a few years or as long as that whale body is still.
Things are down there eating it?
Yes, correct.
Whales falls.
Whale falls.
Whale falls.
Yes, that's a thing.
Hmm.
Which, you know, is only, I guess, in the last few decades was sort of discussed and theorized and proven and, you know, looked at.
Hmm.
And the deep sea vents, that's another place where, because there's energy and this is where, you know, steam and heat from, you know, the mantle, if you will, is coming through the crust under the ocean. And there's these vents of water, but they're mixed with all the stuff from the mantle, so they're providing some nutrients, and these are colonies of life that are existing without any sunlight.
Mm. They're like a dark down there.
Well, it's just how it evolved.
Whales, whale falls.
Yes, and deep sea vents.
Mm. All right, Eddie. I have to run and let my dog out.
I understand.
Tomorrow, Jerry will be back.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be doing the warm-up show at 5 a.m.
Yes, you will.
So.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.